This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, FM 105.7 AM 1340. Up over at fanrunradio.com. Click that link at the top, powered by our friends at MyBookie. Bet anything, bet anytime, bet anywhere. Bet with MyBookie. As always, we got the Periscope up at Fox Sports Knox. Second Hour Smiles. That's over at Facebook and Twitter. We also have that free Fan Run Radio app. Download it in App Store. Stay wherever they're sold for you. Take us wherever you may travel. 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. of local programming. Starting with Three and Out, ending with Overtime. Will Smith and Tucker Holt with the nightcap. But, Charlie.
What's up?
It's Hump Day, Charlie! Hump Day! He thought he was going to get by without getting one the entire show. What was he thinking? He did. I can tell on his face when he smiled. He really thought he was going to get through.
You know why?
What?
Because as you were going through the open of hour two, I was sitting there thinking to myself, I was like, you know what my If You Haven't Heard is going to be?
It's Hump Day.
I was gonna, finally hit it.
You're gonna hit it,
and then you were never gonna. And then you were never gonna say it again. Yep. The day that you forgot was the day that I was gonna say and end this once and for all.
Oh no. Well, I feel you. I know you thought that I forgot, but I did not forget, and it is Hump Day. But hey, beautiful day here in East Tennessee. We're looking ahead towards Volsett and Tuscaloosa. Not much more to talk about there. We'll continue talking about it during the week, though. We'll talk with Rick Butler on Friday, as I'm sure he's traveling down. There was also some, let's see, I found some bowl projections.
Projecting that I cover myself in mayo? Or
that's what I'm trying to find. If the Vols go to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, Charlie said that he would go a la the kid from the opening week of College Game Day and pour an entire jar of Duke's Mayo on him. And
I'll spread it all over my body.
And I'm going to get you, like, I have a Sam's card. I'm going to get you the big one. The big Duke's Mayo.
No matter how big of a container of mayonnaise it is, I will put all of it on my body, but you only get one container.
Okay, no, just one. Yeah, I'll get the big one from Sam's.
I mean, you could fill up a tub if you wanted of mayonnaise. I will bathe in it.
Okay. You oblige.
Say less.
Say less.
But I don't pay for the mayonnaise. That's the other thing.
No, you don't pay for the mayonnaise. Right now, projected bowls are out by CBS Sports. Anybody want to take a guess where your Tennessee Vols are projected? Not the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Music City Bowl?
I feel like
nope,
it is a little.
But you're close.
Is it like the Liberty Bowl?
You're close.
No!
It's the Liberty Bowl.
No!
That was my guess.
The old Toilet Bowl. The old Liberty Bowl.
So that's SEC Big 12.
Who do you think?
Iowa State.
Iowa State is your projected matchup.
God, that would be a disgusting game.
I don't want that game.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too great.
No.
No, I don't think I'd want that game.
But also, who wrote this again? Is this Jerry Palm?
This is CBS Sports. Let's see who it came from.
Is it Jerry?
I think it's just the staff. I pulled it from Vols 247.
If it's Jerry Palm, then I renounce it.
Yeah, you can't stand Jerry Palm, right?
He's just, I think he's terrible.
He's like Dennis Dodd.
I mean, I just think he's really bad with his bracketology and bowl projections. I mean, I think he's absolutely awful at it. Other than that, I mean, I like the guy.
It's Jerry Palm.
Yeah.
It's Jerry Palm.
So, okay, that means nothing to me then.
It's Jerry Palm.
Does the name Brett McMurphy ring a bell for y'all?
Yeah, I love Brett McMurphy.
Okay, so he also did his bowl projections and also has Tennessee in the Liberty Bowl against a different opponent from the Big 12.
Okay. This one is Baylor. No. It is
TCU.
It's not. It's Texas Tech.
They're
I roll with that one.
I mean, they're bad.
Yeah, I roll with
Texas Tech.
Tennessee's better than Texas Tech.
Right, yes.
Texas Tech got 72 put up on them earlier this year against Texas.
Yeah, they're better than Texas Tech.
Right? That was the thing that happened?
I'm not sure.
I'll look at it real quick.
Yeah,
Texas Tech is 5-2.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think they're as bad as you think they are.
Well, I mean,
I think Tennessee's better than them, though.
Texas Tech beat Houston to start the year, barely beat Stephen F. Austin, beat FIU by a sizable amount, and then lost 70-35 to the only good team they've played.
To Texas?
Yes.
Wow. They got beat by.
They also got pieced by TCU, but they beat Kansas and they beat West Virginia.
West Virginia, is that not kind of odd? I thought they were going to be a better team than they are this year.
I don't know. Maybe I don't think Neil Brown's done a good enough job recruiting, because I really liked him as a coach when they made that hire.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that was a big time hire for him. Here's a guy that's rising in the ranks at Troy, and although he passed on probably some maybe better jobs than West Virginia, maybe I thought that was a good fit.
I mean, it was puzzling. Everything that they do is puzzling. First of all, you lose to Maryland. You 60-piece Long Island.
Yeah.
You pull off an upset against Virginia Tech to end their first loss of the season.
You only lose by a field goal to Oklahoma. You lose by a field goal to Oklahoma, and then you lose by a field goal to Texas Tech. I guess really the only bad games is – I don't even know if the Maryland game was bad. I guess they've had some tough breaks.
They're a weird team.
They've lost some close games. You lose by a field goal to West Virginia, lose by a field goal to Texas Tech. You lose by just a score to Maryland. But then you get beat by 25 to Baylor this past weekend. Interesting. Or 2 weekends ago, excuse me. They play TCU.
You're going to end up in a better bowl than the Liberty Bowl.
I don't like Liberty Bowl.
I don't think you're going to end up in the Liberty Bowl. Tennessee's too big of a brand for that. And therefore would be placed somewhere better, at least the Music City Bowl or the Duke's Mayo Bowl. For me, my dream scenario is that Pitt beats Clemson this week, and Clemson picks up another loss or two along the way, and somehow Tennessee plays Clemson in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Okay.
Oh, that would be something.
Okay.
There's no matchup I would love more than to play Clemson in a bowl game. I don't know why. I just think that'd be a lot of fun. And imagine, too, before the year, thinking that, you know, if I told you, hey, Tennessee's going to play Clemson in the postseason, I mean, you would think, oh, my God, what's gonna happen this season? Is there a meteor that's going to land in the – I mean, just unbelievable. But I really want to play Clemson.
I would take that right now. I don't think they're that great of a team. Speaking of the teams right now, AP Top 25, your top four, Georgia – obviously, I still believe Georgia's the best team in the country. Cincinnati's number two. That's interesting to me. Oklahoma, three. Alabama, four. Not interested that Cincinnati is number two, but they were able to, you know, they just kind of control their own destiny from here. Are we?
Do they?
Let's see. Let's look at their schedule.
I kind of don't think that they control their own destiny, unfortunately. I mean, they're going to need help still from the Big 12 and from the SEC. It's going to come down to, I think, to them, the SEC championship. I don't know. I mean, if Alabama beats Georgia, then they're...
If Georgia and Alabama both only have one loss, they're in.
Right.
And then Oklahoma is undefeated right now. They got one loss, too.
Oklahoma's undefeated and Oklahoma State's undefeated. So if one of those schools ends up undefeated, they're in.
Yeah.
And then you're presumably going to end up with a one-loss Big Ten champion.
Well, them being number two in the country, if they win out, they've got to be in, right?
Well, that has nothing to do with the college football playoffs, though. I mean, that's just the AP poll.
No, no, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if they win out, the committee's got to put them in.
I don't think so. I mean, I think they still need help. they still need outside help. And that's unfortunate because I would love to see Cincinnati in. But realistically, if you end up in a scenario...
Well, you're saying these other teams have, you know, bigger conference championship games and better scheduling. And I get that. They have, like, the 87th ranked schedule in America. Like, they don't have a great schedule.
I mean,
their next four games are Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, and South Florida. That's their next four.
I mean, historically... In this college football playoff era, look at the difference between the AP poll ratings and the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
With these group of five teams, with these independents.
No, they haven't given the group of five much love at all.
They've traditionally ranked them pretty low. So, I mean, it's a tough situation, but if you end up with a one-loss Alabama, a one-loss Georgia, we presume both of those are in, yes? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
If you end up with an undefeated Oklahoma or an undefeated Oklahoma State or even a one-loss Oklahoma, we presume that they would still be in over undefeated Cincinnati. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
That's three spots. The fourth spot, you're going to end up with Penn State, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, or Michigan State. One of those is going to be a one-loss Big Ten champion. They would also get in over Cincinnati, correct?
Yeah, probably.
Unfortunately. That's just the way it's going to go. So, Cincinnati, I think the biggest thing for them is that they either want to root for Georgia to hand Alabama a second loss, but even then I think it would still be close between two-loss Alabama and undefeated Cincinnati. So, I think their best bet is to root for the demise of the Big 12. They need Oklahoma to drop two, Oklahoma State to drop two.
I feel like that's asking a lot.
It is, yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I don't. That's a tough order.
I mean, it'll be nice to see the Bearcats up there, but again, it's just the feasibility.
Or I guess, you know, they could potentially, I mean, get some chaos in the Big Ten and maybe, you know, you get whoever comes out of the East hand the West champions their second loss. I mean, you're going to have teams start beating each other and start cannibalizing each other within that Big Ten East. In the Big Ten East alone, you have four top 10 teams. But right now, I mean, Purdue, Iowa, and Minnesota are all tied for the West lead in the Big Ten. And now Purdue has that tiebreaker over Iowa. So I guess maybe you hope that a two-loss Purdue wins the West and then beats a one-loss team that won the East and takes everyone to two losses in the Big Ten. And that's how Cincinnati gets in. I don't know. Still a lot to be decided. And you can't forget, technically, you can't forget about undefeated Wake Forest. They just keep winning. They would be in.
Man, that would be something.
Enough,
that would be something.
Weirdly enough, I mean, hey, they're 6-0.
They're going to lose a game.
And you look at their remaining schedule. Army, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Duke should be a win. UNC, the way that UNC's played, I think you beat them. NC State, tough game. Clemson, tough game. Boston College, tough game. So I don't think they end up undefeated. I think they probably end up with 2-3 losses, but they end up undefeated there, and you can't hold them out.
I'm going to disagree. I think that from the body of work that we've seen from Cincinnati and I think the committee, I mean, maybe they don't, but taking into account even dating back to last season, I think they're in if they went out.
I hope so, but their schedule's gotten a lot weaker.
No, it has. I mean,
that Indiana win, unfortunately, Indiana
is not good this year.
They are. I wouldn't say they're even not good. Indiana's only lost to top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Gosh.
They've lost it. Iowa, Cincinnati, Penn State, and Michigan State, and they've all been decently competitive for a while in those games. So, I mean, that Indiana loss, unfortunately, doesn't look nearly as good. The Notre Dame loss or win doesn't look nearly as good. And the American is having a down year, so there aren't quality wins to find there. I mean, UCF might be the third or fourth best team in the American, and they're not very good. You beat them by 35. I mean, really, the only other quality win to find in the American is an SMU team at 6-0 right now.
Yeah. Number 21 in the country. Yeah, it'll be tough. They got to win, though. I mean, the name of the game is win, but you're right, their schedule does it's a little weaker compared to the teams in front of them and behind them. But hey, our friends over at G&J want to continue to tell you about this. Go to fanrunradio.com, click on the G&J auto giveaway to register for awesome car care prizes all this month, courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics, Knoxville's premier auto care company. This Friday, here at Fan Run Radio, The Drive, and G&J are giving away free detail session, a free window tint, and free ceramic pro coatings this Friday. So make sure to go register on the website and to be able to choose which service you want. Prize drawings will be done weekly, so you don't want to miss one this week. So sign up today. It's quick, it's easy, and best of all, it's free. Support our friends that support us here at Fan Run Radio. On the other side, we'll do winners and losers from the college football weekend that was. We'll also get into Charlie's updated SEC power rankings. Keep it locked here for more of The Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. Spending daddy's money, we never need a dumb what I need. Trying to find the one that can fix me. Welcome back to The Blitz here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and Ryan back behind the booth. No Trey today. We'll catch up with him the rest of the week. But time to go ahead and get to some winners and losers from the college football weekend that was. Been doing this every week, kind of midweek. Two winners, two losers. We'll go around the board. This time, let's let Ryan go first. I feel like we steal his a lot. So, Ryan, you go first. Give me your two winners.
All right, I think my first winner, it's got to be Oklahoma State right here. It's got to be the Cowboys. This is the team that they were undefeated, and they were even the underdogs in a top 25 matchup against Texas last week. And they came out, and they got them. Much-needed win, jumping to the top. We were just talking about them potentially being in the talk for the playoffs right here because they have been playing so good, and this is a great monumental win. So Oklahoma State with the Cowboys, definitely a win. And then right here, we were just talking about Indiana. They fell to my second winner, Michigan State. This is a little bit of favoritism right here. This is the hometown boys, but they are rising every single week. They are jumping higher and higher in the AP Top 25, currently ranked 10th right here, clearly behind the strength of their stud running back, Walker III, who still has yet to fumble. So as long as they keep riding that hot hand, they're going to keep winning. So Michigan State and Oklahoma State. Couple states for winners this time around.
Charlie, give me two winners, sir.
Two winners?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's tough. First, I'm going to have to choose our guy, Zeb Nolan.
There he is.
His team, very much losers. Very much losers. It took a last-ditch effort at home to beat Vanderbilt. But Zeb Nolan, he's our winner. Luke Doty, obviously, he came back. Zeb Nolan lost the job. It was fun while it lasted. It was a cool story at the beginning of the year. Well, not so fast, because Luke Doty got hurt again, and this time he's out for the year. It's Zeb Nolan the rest of the way.
Hey!
And Zeb Nolan comes into this game and leads a comeback to get an SEC win at home. I believe South Carolina's first SEC win of this season. So, shout out to him. It's my favorite story in college football. And even though it is South Carolina and an SEC East opponent, you know, we've already beat them, and I feel pretty comfortable openly rooting for Zeb Nolan the rest of this season.
Good stuff. Zeb did come through and pulled it out.
Second winner, right?
Yeah, you need a second
winner. A or B?
B.
Purdue is your second winner. It was a team that I feel like a lot of people had forgotten about. When Rondale Moore was a freshman and Braum was fresh on the scene in Purdue, they did a lot of exciting things, and there was a ton of buzz surrounding that program. They lost a close one to Notre Dame earlier this year. They kind of let one get away from them against Minnesota the week before. But here they are, finally getting some positive momentum again, pulling off the road upset of Iowa, 24-7 victory. And finding themselves ranked now for the first time in a long, long time. I believe since 2007, if I'm not mistaken. So, shout out to Purdue.
Yeah, I thought Purdue was a big winner over the weekend as well, too. No denying that. My first winner is going to go shout out to the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia swallowed Kentucky over the weekend, and what some people thought might be a pretty close game, Georgia just exemplified even more that they are the best team in the country. Their defense is no joke, continues to amaze me week in, week out. And that's not even me just over-exaggerating. I think their defense is just, every time I watch them, I'm like, man, they are so damn good.
I would draft the entire defense in the first round.
Yeah. Unbeaten Wildcats, they win 30-13 against the second-best team in the SEC East, and it was just no question. While it was kind of close for the first 10 minutes or so, Georgia just exuded their dominance and one more step closer to getting to an SEC championship. And in my eyes, I think they are the favorite right now to win it all. It's going to be tough. They have to probably face off against Bama once again, but I do think Georgia is a better team. My second winner, and also a winner for me, helps me out, Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers.
Whoa, Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers are just the LSU Tigers.
Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron, he lost his job. While he may have lost his job, he also won a big game versus Florida that nobody expected them to win. And maybe that's more of Dan Mullen's coaching because he kept Emory Jones in for so long before finally switching to Anthony Richardson. But Ed Orgeron looks like he has his team rallying around him, and they played some damn good football on Saturday. One of the worst running teams heading into Saturday. They had 321 rushing yards on 7.1 yards per carry, and all they did was run counters and powers the entire game against Florida, and Florida just could not stop it. Tyrion Davis-Price had 287 yards on the ground, 3 scores. And while Orgeron is losing his job, and it's, you know, more of a mutual, he knew he was going to probably get ousted, and they come to a mutual agreement, and they kind of let him go out peacefully. He's going to leave at the end of the season. It was a big win.
Too busy chasing booty.
And maybe, in a sense, a big win like that can propel him into probably not an SEC job or a big-time Power 5 job, but Ed Orgeron probably gets hired as a head coach again. Some group of five, some, you know, mid-level ACC team, something like that, a Big 12 team, maybe a Pac-12 team that needs a coach. I think he does get hired again, so he does, at least he has the ability to motivate his own players, even if we think that he doesn't have a great football IQ or is a great coach. His players seem to rally around him, so my winner is Ed Orgeron. Two losers, Ryan.
Hold up. Bonus winner shout-out.
Okay.
Shout-out UTSA. The Roadrunners are undefeated this season and officially ranked, and they're a pretty good football team. Pay attention down in San Antonio.
I got you.
Yeah, if we're talking losers, we have to start with the Iowa Hawkeyes right here. Number 2 team in the nation, plays Purdue. Nobody expected Purdue to even do anything, which shout out to Charlie's winner over there, but Iowa really screwed the pooch in this one. So they were manhandled for the entire game. They were down by a touchdown at the end of the first half, which they barely got with 5 minutes left to go. Second quarter, listen to these possessions for Iowa as they were in a game that they needed to win and come back. Punt, punt, turnover on downs, interception, interception, end of game. That's not the number 2 team in my head. And plus, their defense was supposed to be their big braggable part. You gave up 24 points to a team that doesn't have one of the most fruitful offenses. So, Iowa, you are definitely a loser. And my other loser is Arizona State. Arizona State in the Pac-12 were definitely making some moves all the way up to the top. They were sitting at 5-1. Oregon also was sitting at 5-1, so they were making noise potentially be a representative in that championship game, except everything went wrong against the Utah Utes as they were down. They were up 21-7 at the end of the first half, and then Utah wins 35-21. They didn't even put up a point. This is a shout-out to Utah's rally right here, but Arizona State, you may have just slipped out of the chances for you to really go somewhere good at the end of the season, and Utah just took your spot.
Arizona State sucks, and so does Herm Edwards.
Whoa, don't talk about Herm like that. my two losers, Florida. First of all, that run defense was atrocious on Saturday. The defense as a whole has been pretty it's taking a step back compared to last season and the prior season.
You're just picking the opposite of your winner?
Yeah. Florida is my loser. Florida, Dan Mullen, he's really just blowing it down there. And it pisses me off even more that I think Tennessee, you play them today, probably can beat Florida with Hendon Hooker starting and having more confidence. And he just doesn't know what he's doing with his quarterback. Also Nebraska. Nebraska, you lose to Minnesota. I thought they – I know they came in as favorites, I'm pretty sure. I thought they would handle P.J. Fleck and his crew. But now you got some pretty big letdown losses for the Cornhuskers. And while we thought that they might be able to take the next step, I even think a couple weeks ago or last we were like, you know, they're still not out of it. But they lose to Minnesota, and now they're 3-5, and they play Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa still. And I'll give you another loser since you poo-pooed on my Florida one. BYU.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. BYU. They've dropped 2 in a row after a 5-0 start, and they just got beat by 2 scores by Baylor. And just they gave up 300-plus yards on the ground, 535 yards total. And this is the first time their defense, and I'm looking at some article right here, first time their defense had allowed more than 500 yards against a Power 5 opponent since 2017 against Mississippi State. BYU was a team that I feel like, and maybe it was just me, I feel like 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were like, no, pretty good. And then after the Boise loss and after this recent loss, they just don't look like a good football team. So my second loser is BYU. Charlie?
A lot of winners and losers this week,
there,
I feel
there
like.
There are.
There were a lot of good choices. There were many that I wanted to.
A lot of people might say Tennessee is a loser. I don't buy that.
Me neither.
They were a winner.
My first loser, though, is going to have to be Liberty.
Okay.
They're a team that a lot of people were really excited about before the year. You know, Hugh Freeze continuing to take the next step there. They did a lot of good things a year ago, and they've now been upset twice this season. And they've been some pretty bad losses. Syracuse and now ULM beats them as 29-point underdogs. It's a bad look. I mean, especially when you have a guy at quarterback that, you know, many looked at as a potential first-rounder. You shouldn't be losing games to ULM. You shouldn't be losing games to Syracuse. And you're 5-2 when you could very easily be 7-0 with the talent that you have. Meanwhile, Malik Willis, the guy that a lot of people think could be a first-rounder, is 16 of 28 for only 135 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. So things look kind of ugly-ish over up at Liberty, up in Virginia. Second loser...
A or B. Last time I went B. This time I'll go A.
Your second loser is Yale. The Yale Bulldogs allow... They are the Bulldogs, right?
They are.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay.
You're correct.
The Yale Bulldogs allow...
That's actually an interesting game between them and Connecticut. I found myself watching that game. You were talking about it going into the weekend.
I told you it was
going
to be interesting.
And you were... I thought you were joking, but I actually clicked on it and watched it.
Well, the Yale Bulldogs, they allow UConn to win their first game in 11 tries. They were 3-point favorites, actually, against UConn coming into this one. They go down early, and pretty disappointing. I wanted UConn to – I didn't want them to ever win a game again just because I thought – I think it's really funny to watch them be UConn. I guess, you know, good for those seniors and good for those kids, and they get to enjoy that, but very disappointed in Yale. I guess UConn could also have just been one of your winners, but 21-15, Yale's last-minute comeback attempts fall short, and it was the second quarter that came back to hurt UConn, that came back to hurt Yale, where UConn outscored them 14-0.
Yeah.
Also had Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Washington State, all considered losers as well.
Yeah, there's some tough ones right there. Like I said, it was a week where there was a lot of winners and losers. It could have went a lot of different ways. It was pretty tough for me to choose mine as well. I'm sure that you guys said the same thing.
Yeah.
But outside of college football news, quick news before we hit a break, Lady Vols. Saw this come across. Well, we don't talk much Lady Vol hoops, but this is probably the one time we talk about it until the season starts and they have some big wins. But Lady Vol hoops, they're predicted to finish second in the SEC by media members. That projection is the highest by the program since the 2015-16 team, who was predicted to finish second in both the media and coaches poll. And also, they come in at number 15 In the preseason AP poll, Kelly Harper's third Tennessee team is her third highest-ranked team in the SEC. So, doing big things over on the hardwood. 865-546-8200. On the other side, it's the time you've all been waiting for. Time to go back into the vault and pull out Charlie Collier's updated SEC power rankings. Keep it locked here for more of The Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and Ryan back behind the booth. We just took a look at, we did our winners and losers. We've also been talking about Vol bowl projections. If you missed any of that, hour number two will be uploaded as soon as we get off the air. Go ahead and download in iTunes, subscribe, review, give us 5 stars. If you don't give us 5 stars, we will be inclined to think that you are a big fat hater. But now it's time to shift our focus. I feel like we haven't done this in a couple weeks. Time to go back to Charlie's newly updated SEC power rankings. Charlie, the floor is yours, sir.
These are getting so hard, Chance.
They are. No, it's tough. That's why I said we hadn't done it in a while. So, like, I know it's got to be.
We've done it every week. I think it might have been when you weren't here last week.
I thought we missed it. Okay.
Either way, yeah, it's getting. I mean, outside of 1 and 2 and 13 and 14,
and I gotta believe that the Vols really have moved up. But Charlie, we'll let you do your thing. You take the floor.
Coming in at number 14, Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
of course.
Coming in at number 13, but barely, South Carolina.
I feel like they're like bottom 1A and 1B as far as the bottom team.
Yeah, I mean, SEC. Mike, you know, Mike Braden, we all know him. He put Vanderbilt ahead of South Carolina this week, and he said, you know, his reasoning, if you beat him by one at home in a game where Vandy's, you know, has a quarterback playing, making his first career start, if you played him again on neutral site, Vandy might be the better team.
Yeah.
But – I'm not going to go that far. So South Carolina 13, Missouri 12, they're trash.
They are.
But they did get a really big recruit yesterday, weirdly enough. They got the number 2 wide receiver in the country, I believe.
How the heck did they get him?
On a Tuesday of all days. Yeah, but
that's how they got him.
Straight cash. Number 11, Mississippi State. Everyone talked about, you know, how Alabama was vulnerable in the middle of the field and how Mike Leach loves to attack that, and you know, they could really find some soft spots in Alabama's defense. Well, he scored 9 points. Congrats. At number 9, your LSU Tigers. I know they just got a big win against Florida. But
you feeling scared with our bet now since they beat
Florida? How's that bet looking right here?
I know they had to, since they beat Florida. Now if they would have lost against Florida, I'm done.
To be fair, last week you were like, let me just go ahead and pay you. You know, I already lost. And I told you, hey, a lot of games left.
And if they'd beat Auburn, oh, man, I'd be feeling really good. They still have Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, Louisiana Monroe, and Texas A&M. So can they get 2 wins out of those 4?
Eh.
Eh. Eh. Be tough.
I'm a little nervous because, I just know basically every week if they win one, it's
Matt
over.
Is Matt Corral hurt this week?
Yes.
Oh.
And doubtful to play.
Ooh. The plot thickens.
The plot thickens.
It does. Matt Corral.
Oh, man.
Ole Miss looked like Matt Corral was all their offense when we played them. We'll see what happens with LSU. They'll have some backup to come in and scorches the earth.
Well, meanwhile, number 9, Texas A&M. Number 8, big faller for me. I was very, very disappointed in this team. I've been very high on them all season long, but their wins don't look as good.
Arkansas.
And their losses have been more disappointing. Arkansas.
Yeah, they have been. They have had it tough, man. I know I'm crazy. I think it goes back to if you win that Ole Miss game, man. Play overtime, Sam Pittman. Play in overtime. But Bo Vick this past weekend, cut him up, man. Oh, Bo Vick. Nicks. He looked good. He did.
Well, we're into our top 7 now.
Yeah, nice.
And notably, is Tennessee in the top half of the SEC?
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, just barely, because they come in at number 7. And
I agree with you.
We'll take it.
The thing is, you could argue that they're better than Florida. Auburn. You could argue that they're better than Auburn. You could argue that they're better than Arkansas, A&M, LSU, Mississippi State. But you could also make arguments that they're worse than LSU, A&M, Arkansas, Florida, and Auburn. It's really tough. I mean, it really could go either way, but I have Tennessee at 7. I really like what they're doing. I think They would love to replay that Florida game. They would love to replay that Pitt game because this team has really grown on a weekly basis this season, and that's been something really positive to see, is that progress there. At number six for now, falling fast, though, Florida. Florida, and you know, I kind of thought about dropping them, but I can't justify putting Tennessee above them. And then, yeah. I don't know. It's just this is where it gets messy because teams are cannibalizing each other. But Florida, man, they really don't look like a good team right now. They need to move on from Todd Grantham. They don't have a quarterback. I don't know how Emory Jones even made it this far to win some games. And I don't know. Florida could end up like a 7-win team, an 8-win team this year. And that's certainly not what you want under what's now, what, year three of Dan Mullen, or is it year four?
It is year four.
Year four.
Year four.
That's certainly not the right way to be trending.
Because he got hired when Pruitt got hired.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously, it's hard to bounce back when you lose Kadarius Toney, Kyle Trask, and Kyle Pitts, but you know, certainly that's not a position that they want to be in year four under a coach they really had high expectations for. At number five now, kind of a surprising team for me. I pegged them as a 6-6 team. I called Bo Nix just the slightly upgraded version of Derek Garantano. And shout out to Auburn. They're winning some football games. You know, we really thought their season had a chance to derail, too, when they narrowly beat Georgia State. They fired a wide receivers coach. But they've gotten it together. Bo Nix has kind of figured out how to play on the road. And they're doing some nice things. They've really impressed me this season. Brian Harsin has impressed me. That was a hire that I didn't like at all. But, you know, we'll see what they can continue to do as this season moves along. Coming in at number four.
Penn State, I mean, we're looking at their season even much more as a positive. Like, they just barely lost to Penn State, too.
Yeah.
Right. Coming in at number four, the Kentucky Wildcats. No shame in losing to Georgia. Maybe a little shame in going for the backdoor cover just because, but
they did go for the backdoor cover.
I still don't know what to think about this Kentucky team. You know, they started off 6-0. People are really high on them now. But at no point in time this season have they played a game where I've been impressed. You know, the Florida game.
That's a good way to put that.
The Florida game, there were times where they looked impressive. But then there were times that it was like, well, they got lucky to win this game. You know, you blocked the field goal. You took advantage of Emory Jones. And Kentucky runs the football. Well, they do, but
but even in the Florida game, we talked about Florida beat themselves up with the penalties.
They did. Yeah. And Kentucky has been the benefit of a lot of good breaks. They've turned the ball over a ton. And, I mean, as high as you want to regard them, they also almost lost a game to Chattanooga. You know, they had a one-possession game against South Carolina, a one-possession game against UTC, a one-possession game against Missouri. A one-possession game against Florida, I mean, you get that win, obviously. And then you beat LSU big, but I don't know. I just still got a lot of questions about this team. I think that, you know, they could be in for a rude awakening at some point. Maybe it's November 6th. But into your top three, at number three, Ole Miss. You know, I love this team. I do. I think they are a very good team.
They're fun to watch.
Saturday, I don't love them in the sense where, oh, I love them. I regard them very highly. And Saturday, you know, maybe they didn't look as good as I thought they would. I thought Tennessee made them look worse than I expected Tennessee to be able to make them look. But they still hold on to that three spot. At number two, Alabama. This isn't your typical Alabama, but even your typical Alabama, or even your non-typical Alabama, is still one of the best teams in the country, which this Alabama team is one of the best teams in the country. I still think they beat Georgia in the SEC championship too, maybe. But Tennessee gets to see them up close and personal this week. You know, they do have some flaws. They're a little bit weak in the middle of the field, obviously. Toa struggles at times. Bryce Young isn't necessarily as good of a playmaker as people thought initially. And Jameson Williams and I'm blanking on his name.
Who?
The other wide receiver.
For the Tide or for the...
How did I forget? John Metchie Jr., yeah.
Metchie, yeah.
Yeah, Jameson Williams and Metchie Jr. John both. Michi. Yeah. Michi, you know, they're not necessarily blow-you-away wide receivers either. They both have things that they do well, but I mean, Jameson Williams was fourth on Ohio State's depth chart before he transferred. So, you know, this Alabama team isn't your typical Alabama team. And then you have Georgia at number one. And they legitimately have an NFL-quality defense. So, not to the sense where, like, oh, you know, they could compete at the NFL level, but where all 12 of those guys, all 11 of those guys, 12 of those guys, 13, 14, the ones that are rotating in frequently, can all go play in the league right now and make rosters. I'm not saying that they would start or be impactful, but I think everyone on the starting 11 for Georgia would make an active roster in the NFL at the end of this season. They are incredible.
They're awesome, man. They have a guy who's, what, 350 plus that, like, runs like a 4.6. Like, what's that big defense?
Jordan Davis?
Yeah.
He doesn't make sense.
He scares me. You're not supposed to be that big, that strong, and that fast.
And he doesn't even really, like, coming off the line of scrimmage, he doesn't necessarily look that explosive on video, but you know he is.
And you've seen him, like, hawk guys down.
Well, I mean, you know he is because he can get leverage with just one arm up under a center or a guard. And get them, you know, he's straining so to even keep their feet under them. I mean, he can just completely stop them in their tracks and hold them there while then he tackles the other guy with his left hand.
Yeah.
He is a freak, and that's why, you know, they're the best team in the SEC and in the country. But any gripes, concerns, anything that made you angry, just tweet it at me. Let me know.
I thought it was pretty solid. I guess maybe Ole Miss at three, but I don't know who else I'd put at three. So, like, I think you got that one
like
right,
they're
too.
Definitely better than Kentucky, and Kentucky still gets that respect because I'm glad they didn't fall after that Georgia. But, yeah, that's about right.
No, I don't know anybody else I could put. I thought that was pretty solid. You had Auburn ahead of Florida, right, and Tennessee right behind Florida. Obviously, Florida beats Tennessee. So, good stuff by you, Charlie. Good stuff. That was Charlie Collier's updated SEC power rankings. If you missed any of that, it'll be on the podcast. You can listen later and go back through it. They have changed every week, too, I feel like. So Charlie's doing a great job doing his research there, really picking apart and watching all the games. Hey, one final segment for us. Talk Sports is in the building. They'll have you covered noon till 3. It's the Drive 3 to 6 with Russell the Bear. And then the Nightcap with Will Stevens, 6 to 8, him and Tucker Holt. We got one final segment in us. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. Odds boost and special from FanDuel. We love them, man. Every day you get some odd boosts and even some big super boosts each weekend. Easy to place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend you like. And remember, new users will get 75-1 odds on any team to win from our friends over at FanDuel. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code BLITZ to get 75-1 odds on any team to win tonight. That's promo code BLITZ. Make every moment more this NBA season with our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit is required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Closing time here. We got a couple minutes for if you haven't heard, who's got one?
Ryan, what's the what did you tell me about the Tennessee and tackle for losses stat this morning?
Yeah, so Tennessee right now leads Power 5 in tackles for loss with 62. Last year, we had 62. And we are number 2 overall in the FBS. So there's some little team who's just going in right now. But we're number 1 where it matters.
That's with a defensive-minded coach last year. And then you have the offensive savant and Josh Heupel still getting more with less. And Tim Banks, man, well, there's a lot of applause given his way from our doubts and skepticism.
I hope that you can hang on to him this offseason. The better he continues to look,
the more teams
feel like
beat.
The more likely it is that somebody is interested in him, and maybe at the group of five level. The only positive there is that generally when teams go to hire a coach, they look for an offensive-minded coach or an offensive coordinator.
Yep. So that will do it for us today on the way out, National Calendar Days. Today is National Youth Confidence Day. It's Bra Day USA. Hagfish Day, although I don't know what a hagfish is. It's Medical Assistance Recognition Day. Shout out to the medical assistants. Support your local Chamber of Commerce Day. Do that. That's downtown.
I do that every day.
If you need to know, it's downtown. Good. Market Square. Also, National Branded Fruit Day. And one of my favorites, it's National Chicken and Waffles Day. I love good chicken and waffles.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, Talk Sports is up next. For Charlie Collier, for Ryan, I'm Chance Collins. We'll do it all again tomorrow right here on The Blitz. Keep it locked here for more Fan Run Radio.